Father, in a morning like this, it's always such a joy to know you and just to experience your involvement in our lives and to be able to know you as our Father. What an incredible joy that is and the reality of that. And this morning as we as a family just sit together with you and with your Son and with you, Holy Spirit, and just engage with you. We want to thank you, you, Lord Jesus, that you have introduced us to the Father. What a joy that you did not introduce us to religion, but you introduced us to our Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, that we may know him and be in a relationship. So thank you as you share with us today, Lord Jesus, the reality of your kingdom, the reality of your reign and your rule and the incredible working of your Holy Spirit and making it so real to each and every one of us. So we want to thank you that we can live in the reality of being in your kingdom, and we honor you for that. Today, Father, we need your grace, and we receive your grace to help us to be able to participate, to be able to know the reality of your kingdom within us and to live day after day. So we really need you, Father, to help us. And we want to receive that grace of yours. We receive truth that comes through Jesus to establish this in our lives as we go from here. We know on our own we will really battle. And so today, thank you, Father, that as we see in your incredible word that you are in your Son, Jesus, reconciling the world back to yourself. It was you and your Son doing that incredible work through Jesus, the ministry of reconciliation. So thank you. And we want to know you. We want to know the reality of your realm, of your kingdom that is now within each and every one of us who believe. So we ask for our communities, our towns, we ask for our nation and the nations worldwide. And we ask, Father, for the ministry of your Holy Spirit to draw people to your Son, Jesus, so that they can have eternal life and know that you are the only real God, the true God, and Jesus Christ, your Son. And this we ask today, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, super. Okay, guys, we're going to, let me just get to the, this is Isaiah chapter 9. Really gripped me some time back because it just reveals the incredible heart of our Father for humanity. And we get an insight to, again, the good news of God, the gospel of God, the heart of our Father, the heart of God for each and every one of us. And so here we see in Isaiah chapter 9, I want to read it first and then we'll break it up a bit. Nevertheless, there was no more gloom for those who were in distress. That's a profound statement that the prophet Isaiah is busy prophesying in the past. Now, he's referring, he's speaking about a future reality that's going to come, and he's speaking about a past historical experience that has taken place. So something took place in the history of Israel, and he's comparing that past, and he says, but now there's a future that I'm prophesying that God has shown me and that I've seen. And so he's seen something that God has shown him, and he's now prophesying. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increase their joy. They rejoice because you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder, For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. And then it carries on over there, the zeal of the Lord God Almighty will accomplish this. Profound prophetic word that God is giving to the people of Israel. And we know now that he's speaking not only to the Israelites, but we see there in Matthew how it's speaking about Jesus. And when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, this is Matthew chapter 4, he withdrew to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went to live in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, very important, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God has come near. So we see here that, well, the historical background of this, first of all, in Isaiah, was in 2 Kings chapter 15. And we see over there the northern kingdoms was king after king did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Next king did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And there's a history of kings that have led Israel into sin and had done evil in the eyes of the Lord. And now we get to this place here where God uses the king of Assyria, Tiglath-Pileser is his name, and who came and captured that whole Israel. Remember, there's Judah and there's Israel, the whole of Israel, and takes many, 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 many of them into captivity there in Assyria. And it was a dark time, a terrible time. A lot of assassinations taking place amongst the kings of Israel, and the people were now enslaved. They've got this yoke of slavery upon them, and it's a miserable time. And so Isaiah is comparing and saying that was a bad time in our history. And he says, but a time is coming. And he starts to prophesy about this incredible time, a lot of rejoicing, great harvest, the burdens off them. There's a freedom and so forth. But in this context of prophesying this, he says to them, but here we need a new king. See, the kings of Israel did evil in the eyes of God. We're prophesying a king that will not do evil in the eyes of God. So speaking about a future king, and that future king is referring to our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so that's what this is all about. But in this incredible prophecy, we start to see there how it gives such a revelation of the rule of Christ Jesus, the reign of Christ Jesus, what that's all about, and the characteristics, the nature of his kingdom that you and I participate in. And so that is what we're busy just having a look at this morning. And so when we get back to this Isaiah 9, and we see over there that from verse 6 and 7 is what we're going to focus on this morning. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And straight away we see the reality of the New Testament when, for God so loved the world that he gave. You see, for to us, in other words, what God is prophesying, he's saying to us over here that it's for your benefit that a child is going to be born. It's for your benefit. It's because I love you so much. And you're in this tremendous darkness, this dominion of darkness, this dominion where Satan rules, where sin controls, the wages of sin is death. You're living in that realm of darkness. But a day is coming, and now the day has now come when my son came. And now, for your benefit, because I love you so much, and the last thing that I want is for humanity to be in that realm of darkness, I want them to come into this realm of light, to see the light in my son and to respond to him. It's for your benefit that Christ is born. And then he carries on. It's to us, to you and I, to humanity, that the son is given. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ. So straight away we see when John speaks about that grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ, here we see this incredible grace of God in for our benefit. Remember what grace is. It's God's love in action. God is leaning forward, giving himself to us. Here we see he's giving himself to us in his son, Jesus Christ. That's the grace of God in the birth of his son, Jesus, God himself with us, as we've been looking at his name. To us a son is given. And so, and then we see that this child that is born, Jesus Christ, this child that is born is born as a king. And so the government will be on his shoulder. So he's born as a king. This child, for our benefit, is going to be a king. He is a king, and he's been given to us by the incredible grace of God for our deliverance, to be able to destroy the oppressors of our lives, to be able to destroy the reality that has kept us in the dominion of darkness, that has kept us slaves to sin. It has kept us in the reality where our enemy is death, and we see there that in John, that this whole world, in 1 John chapter 5, this whole world has been taken captive by Satan, and he rules this world. And now this king is going to deliver us. That's the whole reality of redemption, of atonement, of salvation, taking us out of the dominion of darkness and bringing us into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his son whom he loves, Jesus Christ, in whom we have salvation through the incredible blood, the redemption, the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, and so the king is born. And we see that, you know, for instance, in Matthew, when the wise men, the Magi, come from the east to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. So they understood the king, because, again, the prophetic word, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So we see here that Jesus is born as a king. He wasn't made a king. He's born as a king. And we see that here when Pilate is busy questioning Jesus, and Jesus looked at Pilate and said, the royal power of my kingdom realm doesn't come from this world. If it did, then my followers would be fighting to the end to defend me from the Jewish leaders. My kingdom realm authority is not from this realm. Then Pilate responded, So then you're a king. You are right, Jesus said, I was born a king. And I have come into this world to prove what truth really is. Very incredible, powerful statement that our Lord Jesus is making. He came to prove what truth is. Grace and truth has come through Jesus Christ. So Jesus is making truth a reality. He's showing the reality of the truth of God, who he is. All that has been spoken in the Old Testament, or that everything has taken place, Jesus is proving the reality of truth. And anyone who loves the truth will receive my words. And so we know that Christ is born as a king. Now, when Jesus says there over there that that his kingdom realm is not of this world, because it's a spiritual realm. And so here we notice in this portion of Isaiah, and the government will be on his shoulders, we're looking at a spiritual reality when he speaks in verse 7 of the greatness of his government, the increase of his government, the increase of his kingdom, the increase of his rule, and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it. Again, it's the prophetic word that God had spoken concerning David and his offspring, and the promised Messiah, establishing and holding it with justice and righteousness from the time on and forevermore. Now, remember, we know that God created us. We've got a body, we've got the soul dimension, and we've got our spirit. So all of us have been created to relate to the spiritual realm, to the unseen realm. Okay? God's kingdom is a spiritual reality. It is a very real reality, but it's in the spirit realm. So we know now that we have been created, and that's why you find that as believers, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we are able to relate to God, who is spirit. God is real, and the realm, the rule, the realm in which Christ rules, his kingdom, and the way in which God rules, it's a spiritual reality. But because we've been created with a body, soul, and spirit, we now are able to experience the spiritual realm here in the natural realm, because that's how we've been created. And we see, for instance, folk that are religion, or look at religion, whether it's yoga, whether it is Satanism, whether it is Christianity, Buddhism, Muslim, whatever the case may be, it's the way that people have set up a system to be able to connect to the spiritual realm, so that they can interact with the spiritual realm, and so forth. So for us, we've been taken out of the dominion of darkness, so we don't interact with the dark spiritual realm. We interact with God's realm, the kingdom of God. We now deal with the demonic realm, and we cast demons out. That's our interaction. We cast demons out of people and so forth, and that because of the authority of Jesus Christ. But many people interact with that realm still, because they're still there. And whether we are demon possessed or not, all of humanity is still under the control of the demonic realm, under Satan's rule. And Christ came and has taken us out of that over there. And so there's a lot of stuff that tries to hinder us from experiencing the reality of God's reign, of God's spiritual realm that you and I can experience. And we can let that become our reality here on earth. And that's why in John chapter 3, that famous scripture there where the ruler comes, Nicodemus comes to ask Jesus some questions. And Jesus replied, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again, unless they are born of the Spirit, they are born from above." Okay? And so we need God's Holy Spirit to be able to see the reality, to be able to perceive the reality of the spiritual rule, the realm in which Christ rules and the way he rules. So when Jesus teaches us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth," by the Holy Spirit, we are able to now engage, we're able to live in the reality of the spiritual realm of God's kingdom, and let that come a reality in our day-to-day lives. Okay, that's an incredible blessing that you and I have. Obviously, Adam and Eve before the fall, they lived in such a fullness of this. When they disobeyed God, then God's Holy Spirit left them, and you know we need the Holy Spirit again to be able to enter and to engage with God in the spiritual realm. And so he says over there, we need to be born again. And then again, when carry on with the discussion, we see over here, and the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from, where it is going. So it is with anyone born of this of the Spirit. And so in verse 5, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. And so once again, we need God's Holy Spirit to be able to enter into His spiritual realm, the kingdom of God. It's because we have been born again by the Holy Spirit. Okay, when you know the many folk that when we're involved with casting demons out, and they're able to enter into the demonic spiritual realm because they have a demon inside of them that helps them to be able to connect to the demonic spiritual realm. But we have the Holy Spirit that makes the kingdom rule of Christ real. On the dark side, the demonic, the demons inside people make Satan's rule very real. Okay, because we've been created with spirit, soul, and body, and we are relating to the spiritual realm. And it's very, very, very real for all of us who are believers. We know how real God's kingdom is, and to be able to participate and live in the reality of that. And so Jesus addresses this in Luke chapter 11 when he's speaking to the people that are accusing him from casting demons out by the power of Satan, involved in that demonic realm, the dark realm. He says, no. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, in other words, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So Jesus is now giving the evidence that because he's been baptized by the Holy Spirit, remember this in Isaiah chapter 11 there, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. You know, the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now, but the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus now is casting demons out by the power of God, by the finger of God, the Spirit of the Lord in the name of, and is casting out these demons over there. Then God's kingdom, the reality, the rule of God has come upon you. And so in all that deliverance, what Jesus is doing is the evidence. He's making truth real. He's making the kingdom, the way God rules, a reality in the lives of the people that are in that area that are watching and following the life of Jesus. And then he goes on in Luke chapter 17 and in verse 20, Jesus was once asked by the Jewish religious leaders, when will God's kingdom come? And Jesus responded, the kingdom does not come simply by obeying principles or waiting for signs. Okay? The kingdom is not discovered in one place or another. For God's kingdom realm, the place, the realm is where Christ rules. God's place where he rules and reigns is already expanding within some of them. And so he speaks about the kingdom of God that is in the life of the believer. When Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now the king that was born for our benefit out of the incredible love of God, came by the Holy Spirit. And we see there in John 14 and 15 and 16 how the Father and the Son have come and made their dwelling within us because of the Holy Spirit. Now that the King, Christ Jesus, rules in our lives. So now because the King is in his realm, our bodies, in this instance over here, we are now able to experience that rule in our lives. We are now able to live in the reality of Christ's rule. Very important. We are now able to live in the reality of Christ's rule and not under the rule of fear or of death or of sin or of the demonic realm. Very, very important, because we've been taken out of the dominion of darkness. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, 13, and 14, we've been taken out of the dominion of darkness, and we're now being brought into, we've been raised with Christ and seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. We now, in our spirit and even our soul, our emotions, we are now able to experience the reality, because we've been created with a body, soul, and spirit. So we are now can relate with Christ, the King of Kings, and enjoy His rulership, His reign, His sovereignty, His authority, His power, His life, everything about our Lord Jesus. We are now able to experience, not to the fullness, but to a growing reality. We are able to experience that here on earth. And that is why I prayed in the beginning, you and I need God's grace, because there's so many things that comes against us from really living in the reality of Christ's rule in our lives. And religion is one of them. There's this, you name it, from every direction of life, there's these things coming our way to try and persuade us otherwise. No. But by faith today, and by the grace of God, He's helping us to once again just get directed, to get established, to get a starting point again, to be able to realize, but as I got born again by the Holy Spirit, I've entered into the kingdom. Now I'm able to see, I'm able to perceive, I'm able to experience the reign, the rule of Jesus Christ and His reign in my life. And it's important in, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 6, to Isaiah chapter 9. You see, of the greatness, or let's quickly, before I go over there, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, all of this is the reality of Christ. Remember, His name and who He is cannot be separated. So now as we come under the rule of Jesus, this is what we experience. Wonderful. He's a wonderful ruler. He's a wonderful king. So we live in the reality of Him being this incredible, awesome king, wonderful counselor. A counselor is someone that comes and gives advice and insights and helps us. He is this incredible, wonderful counselor that comes and shares with us truth by the Holy Spirit, leads us, guides us, gives us direction, understanding, opens up the reality of the Father for you and I. But He's also the mighty God. And so He has all power, all authority. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is the one that rules in our lives. We are in His kingdom, and the Holy Spirit is helping us to be able to accept this and to have us, as I said, a starting point. But Lord, this is who You are that's dwelling within me. I'm in Your kingdom. This is who You are that rules, and I'm under Your rulership. I'm under Your authority. I'm Your child. I'm in Your kingdom. And so I want to now begin to live and experience this truth of Yours. The Holy Spirit takes what is of Jesus and makes it known to you and I. You and I have received the Holy Spirit when we got born again. The Holy Spirit is the only person that is able to make the reality of Christ. He's wonderful. He's as a counselor, as mighty God. He's the only one that's able to make this true. He's the everlasting Father. Isn't that incredible that, you know, Christ cannot be impeached? He's the everlasting Father. And the Father reality is, because remember, the Father is in His Son. So this rule of Jesus Christ reveals to us and makes a reality of an eternal Father. We're in the realm of our Heavenly Father, so we experience what it is to be loved by our Heavenly Father. We experience, remember, Jesus did not introduce us to religion. He introduced us to His Father, who has become our Father in heaven. Hallowed be Your name, our Father. By the Holy Spirit, we say, Abba, Father. But the Holy Spirit we have this, the spirit of sonship. Okay. And so in the rule of Jesus, this is the reality for us to live as children of God, knowing the Father's love, living in that place of security, living in that place of peace. And that's why the Prince of Peace, it's a characteristic of being in his kingdom. Now, this, what we've just shared here, you and I, because of the Holy Spirit within us, because we are able to relate to the spiritual realm because of the way God has created us, now we are able to, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and the starting place is in our own hearts. As Jesus said there in Luke chapter 17, the kingdom of God is within us. So we now are being helped by the Holy Spirit for this to become established. Now in verse 7 of the greatness of his kingdom, this is the growth, the increase. And again, Jesus speaks about this when he uses the parable, for instance, the parable of the yeast. A small bit of yeast is put into the dough and it spreads and spreads, and eventually the whole bread is full of this yeast. He's speaking about the growth of the kingdom. So within us as believers, by the Holy Spirit, there's the growth of this reality. There's the walking with God. So all the time as we continue in relationship with Jesus, his rule, what takes place, this increases within us. The reality of his being loved by the Father, of peace, of his insights and wisdom and his mighty power, that the reality of his authority over all things, all of that now we grow into it. The parable of the mustard seed, it speaks about the small little mustard seed. And eventually it becomes this great tree where the birds, etc., come and perch on it over there, the growth of the kingdom. And this kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom. There will be no end. And we know that. We see that Jesus, because of Jesus, it's his rule, it's his reign. He cannot be impeached. He cannot be dethroned. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the one who rules and reigns in our lives. We're in his kingdom, guys. And so, by the Holy Spirit, it's a good thing to be able to say, Lord, I want more. I want to live. I need your grace for me to be able to know you, Jesus, as the King in my life, to know your rule, to know the way you rule. So when Jesus speaks about seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in Matthew 6, verse 33, he's speaking about there first. Just get to the place where you acknowledge that Jesus rules in your life, and then the righteousness is the way he rules. See, the way Jesus rules is totally different to the way the demonic realm or the world rules. And so his way, and this we're seeing over here, the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, is part of the way that he rules, because that's who he is. He cannot change who he is. He's truth. And who he is, he will be, you know, as we looked at I am who I am. And then he says over there, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. And then the zeal of the Lord, the passion, it's like the jealousy of God, the strong, passionate heart of God will make this become a reality in our lives. And that gives us an insight to our Heavenly Father's love for humanity, where for our benefit, for the benefit of humankind, a son is born. He is born as a king. He is a king, and as a king, he brings in the reality, and that's why when Jesus started to preach, he started straight away to preach about the kingdom of God, because it was Jesus as king who now brings in truth. He brings in the reality of what the kingdom of God is all about, Now, as we get born again by the Holy Spirit, we enter into His kingdom. He rules in our lives. So now we can start eating the fruit of that kingdom of God. We start to receive it. We start to experience it. We start to live in that reality. And so the fruit of the Holy Spirit, again, that's the evidence of Christ's rule in our lives. That's the evidence of the incredible, wonderful God, wonderful King, Jesus Christ, who rules in our lives. And it's the fruit of the Spirit, again, it's the reality of what the kingdom of God is all about. It's life experiencing. It's not just fruit that we look at and we speak about it, but it's the reality that's inside of us. We participate in that. We participate in His divine nature. We see there in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5 onwards over there. So we've been given this Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1 to 3 speaks about the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, as I shared earlier on, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, counsel, etc. For us to be able to live in the reality of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is real. For us as believers, we are the ones that have entered into it. And only as believers, born again by the Holy Spirit, are we able to experience the growth of that and live in that. So here on earth, what a joy that we are able to live in the reality of being in a spiritual realm at the same time as in the natural realm. What a joy that you and I are able to live in that reality where the fullness of the spiritual realm of Christ's rule, of God who is in heaven, the unseen God who is in heaven, who has given us the gift of faith. By faith we are able to believe in Jesus Christ as the goodness of God, and that brought us into the reality of being born again by the Holy Spirit, that we are now able to live on earth as well as being seated in the heavenly realms, because that's how He's created us. And so a good starting point, as the Holy Spirit is sharing, is just to be able to just realize, but I've entered into the kingdom. Christ, you are the King of Kings. And I just ask that you will now show me who you are. Holy Spirit will then begin to take what is Jesus, to begin to reveal Jesus to us. And as you get to see Jesus more and more so, you will see the Father more and more. And this will become so, so real. So I know that as we go into our day to day and into the tomorrows, this what the Holy Spirit is sharing is going to play a big role in helping us to understand, to be focused, to be rooted, grounded in the reality of a spiritual kingdom while we live and experience that on this earth. It's going to help us when Jesus says, in this world you're going to have lots of troubles, etc., but take heart because I have overcome this world. And we are able then to be able to live in a world full of troubles, but also be able to live in the reality of Christ, who is the King, and we in His kingdom, who has overcome this world, and receive the grace of God to be able to go through the challenges of life, but living from our spirit out, living from the place of being in the spiritual realm, being in His kingdom. And may the Holy Spirit really open up to you and I the understanding of the kingdom of God, and really get a greater insight, but for us to be established in that, rooted in that. And that's the anchor that's going to hold us and to keep us as we saw there in verses 1 through to 5 there, when speaks about the joy, speaks about the freedom, speaks about the seeing the light, the increased joy, the harvest, etc. All of those things over there in Romans. I'm just trying to think. It was I think it's in Romans 14 where Paul writes over there, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but it's a matter of the incredible powers of joy, of peace, of righteousness, in the Holy Spirit. And so we in that reality of the joy of God, it's His joy that we participate in. We in this peace that the Holy Spirit is bringing us. We live in that peace. We live in that righteousness that comes in this kingdom of God, because He rules with righteousness and justice. And that's our reality. So as we have communion this morning, I think it's just a time of us just connecting and just accepting and just whatever the Holy Spirit has opened up and what's become real to you and I, as He's been sharing with us, that we would just receive that and just say, Lord, this is my starting point. When Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, and he speaks there about you and I, we have died with Christ, we've been raised with Christ. And he says, therefore, likewise, renew your mind to this. Get into agreement with the truth that you died with Christ, but you've also been raised with Him. And that's the reality. Just renew your mind. It's a good starting point, because that starting point, it's so easy to be able to say then, Lord, here's my body. I give my body as a living sacrifice for you. You, the King in my life, and I just surrender. Your will be done. That's a freedom, because that's when you and I are free of trying to control our environment, trying to control our circumstances, trying to control life, and we can just be in the reality of the King under his control, which is a different control than our control, because He's wonderful, and to be under His incredible leadership, under His authority, and to be able to then to step out into your divine purpose and just to live in that place of being led by the Holy Spirit. That's a freedom that releases us from so much. And many of us, we know we can tell about the day when we can say, I know the day I died, because we appropriated that truth. And from that moment onwards, we started to live the life. And Romans chapter 5 speaks so much about that, as we just simply receive by faith, then the grace of God rules and reigns in our lives. And that's the open door. That just takes us into the ways of God for our lives, under His authority to live His way for our lives, which is good for us. He's created us. He knows the plans He has for our lives. But it's really at the moment where, through the blood of Christ, through the atonement for our benefit, Christ was born to set us free from being slaves to ourselves. You know, I think we all got testimonies of what it is to be slave to ourselves, to be slave to our mind, to be slaves to our emotions, to be slaves to our fears, to be slaves to our habits and, you know, our past and all that kind of stuff. But in Christ, we are a new creation, and He has set us free. And so we want to celebrate Christ, the King of Kings, who God has sent for us for our benefit, that we can enter into His kingdom and live in the freedom of His kingdom. So let's just have a moment of just communion. So Father, as we just celebrate You, unseen, but yet seen through the eyes of faith. What a joy that, because You've created us with our body and our soul and our spirit, what a joy that we have been created to relate to You in the spirit realm. And we want to thank You that You have redeemed us from the dominion of darkness and that realm that we could relate to so easily. And You've brought us into Your kingdom of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord Jesus, You've opened the door. Your blood, Your body, Your death, Your resurrection, and Your ascension and glorification has brought us into the reality of Your kingdom. And You gave us the Holy Spirit, and we got born again. So we want to just sit this morning with You, Father, with You, our Lord Jesus, and just celebrating the Holy Spirit within us, just the incredible goodness of Yours. as we just eat together this morning. So thank you, Jesus.